Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next few moments, I'm going to invite you to stay with me. 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, some education, and it's going to be done without any manipulation. I know you hear me say this every Sunday morning. There is, you know, you've been listening now. You know there is no manipulation. We don't ask for money. We don't hustle money. We don't sell any sermons or any messages. We don't sell any books, but we sure do send them out by the hundreds. If you desire any of our messages on the radio, you can have them. If you desire to read any of our books, they are available. We've written several books, and you can go to the website and look at all of them. Simply go to rickhughesministries.org. rickhughesministries.org. There you'll find a list of all the radio shows. You can even listen to them online, and you'll find a list under Further Studies where you can see the various books we've written. And people write all the time and request this, and we send it out free of charge. Because I've always known and understood from the days that my pastor taught me that if God is in it, God will pay for it. What a wonderful way to operate, not having to worry about money, not having to hustle money, but just know that if you do it the right way, God's way, He will pay for it. And obviously, you're listening to me, He's paying for it, or I wouldn't be on this radio station, because a lot of people say, is this free? And I'm like, no, you have to buy time to be on these radio stations. And so God graciously allows us the funding to buy that time. And I'm so grateful to be able to bring you the information that we have been bringing you over the past few years. A lot of our stations want us to sign new contracts this time of year. And a lot of you have written and said, I hope you'll keep the show on in my area. And yes, we are not canceling any shows anywhere. We're signing all our new contracts for the 2015 year, and my prayer is that it's going to be a phenomenal year, a year of teaching God's Word, understanding God's Word, and seeing you grow and learn. Many of you have your own pastor. Many of you have your own church. A lot of people write and say, I listened to you on my way to church, or I listened to you if I didn't go to church today. Let me just explain one thing before I move on today. Our job as Christians is to grow. The Bible clearly says we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible also says we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. However, there's a problem that we run into in the book of Hebrews. Whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, we don't really know. Some think maybe Apollos. Some think maybe Paul. I don't know. But there is a passage in Hebrews chapter 5, and I would like to read it to you. Hebrews 5:11. It says, we have many things to say, but they are hard to be uttered, seeing that you're dull of hearing. Now, this is a problem I run into sometimes. Sometimes as I travel and speak in various schools and various churches, people cannot pay attention. They simply drift away. Their minds can't focus and can't concentrate. And I'm not a comedian. I'm not there to hustle up entertainment. I'm a communicator. I am on this radio station and in a school or in a church to communicate the truth of the Word of God. Not entertain anyone. And so people, one of the tragedies of today is people can't listen if they're not being entertained. That comes from radio and from the social networks that we live in today. And they're dull of hearing. Dull simply means they're not real sharp. What started the dullness? That's the question. What made people dull? And what made people dull is they don't exercise. They don't use their mind. They're not sharp. And so when this verse says we have many things to say, that means much doctrine from God. We'd like to tell it to you, but it's hard for us to say it because you're dull of hearing. In other words, you drift off, you go to sleep, or you don't comprehend it. That's why repetition is important. Listen, when someone joins the military, they're kind of dull to start with. And so the drill instructor makes them line up and march and do the same drill about 50 times every day until they can do it in their sleep, about phase forward march, you know. That's what they're trying to teach them. Repetition, repetition, repetition. And on my show, you will hear repetition. The reason I do that is to drive into our minds these doctrines so that we don't forget them. See, this verse goes on to say these words. Verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 5. You ought to read this and look at it. It says, "For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the very first basic principles of God, and you have become such as someone who needs milk and not solid food." That's a baby. That's an illustration of a baby. The writer here is using a baby metaphor. You need a bottle. You can't handle a steak. See, that's what happens. Christians that don't learn, Christians that don't grow, Christians that are used to being entertained, when someone gives them a steak, they choke on it because they can't chew it. They can't comprehend it. They can't hang with it. Do you see this in your life? Do you see it in the lives of others? Because this is predominant in American religion today. People go to church for an appetizer, not a steak. They're not going to learn. They're going to be entertained, or as they say, "I'm going to worship." That whole thing can be a fallacy if you don't understand what true worship is. Nothing wrong with singing, but you don't learn Bible doctrine by singing songs. You learn the Word of God as a qualified pastor teaches it to you from the pulpit of a local church. If that wasn't true, then God would not have given those men that gift, and you wouldn't hear something in the Bible like this: "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." That's how you develop your faith. You hear God's Word taught. And so the writer of Hebrews says, "I would love to teach you something. You are still babies. You can't get this. It's over your head. You can't stay awake. You can't pay attention." You know, as a speaker that speaks in the public, it is awful insulting to see someone fall asleep while the Word of God is being taught. You might like to know in the Old Testament, they had to stand up while the Word of God was being read and being taught. And in churches today, we make it mighty comfortable so that people can nod off. And how many pastors have I talked to that say over and over again, "That guy falls asleep every Sunday"? As far as I'm concerned, he needs to stay home. He is not there to learn God's Word. He's just there for the tradition. He's there for the ritual, and there's no reality to it. Ritual without reality is meaningless. And it is insulting to see people who talk while the Word of God is being taught, who text while the Word of God is being taught, who sleep while the Word of God is being taught. And that's what this man and the writer of Hebrews is saying. They're babies. They can't understand it. He's going to give them a steak and they would choke on it. They just need a little bottle of warm milk, and then they can take their little nap. He goes on to say in verse 13 of Hebrews 5, "Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness." He's a baby. "But solid food belongs to them that are of full age," that means mature, "even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." The problem with that is today, what is evil has become good in America, and what is good has been turned into evil. And so we are at a crossroads of history, because a lot of people today don't understand the difference between good and evil. And they have associated the good as evil, and they have associated the evil as good. And so America is backwards. In many areas, we're twisted up, turned around, convoluted, and confused. And part of that comes because of the scar tissue in our soul. God wants you to understand what evil is. Let me make this clear to you. Evil is a system. It is not necessarily a sin. It can be, but it's a system. The system of Satan is evil. God has a system also, and God's system is called grace. So the plan in eternity past is grace versus evil. Grace says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Evil says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and give up peanut butter, and you'll be saved. Don't drink any more Coca-Colas, and you'll be saved. You see, evil always wants to add something to grace. It wants to help grace. God doesn't need your help. The Bible clearly says, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we may be made the righteousness of God through him. If you want to go to heaven, you must have equal righteousness with God, and there's no way you can get it. The Bible says there are none that are righteous, not even one. The Bible says all of our righteousnesses are like a filthy rag. So how in the world do you think that you are going to impress God by giving up something or by doing something? The only way God could be impressed is if you have equal righteousness. Let me ask you a question. Was Jesus Christ perfectly righteous? The answer is yes. Is God perfectly righteous? The answer is yes. Is man perfectly righteous? And the answer is no. There are none that are righteous, no, not one. So how can I have a relationship with a perfectly righteous God if I'm unrighteous? And you want to know what? The justice of God guards the righteousness of God. And so if the righteousness of God looks at me and says, nope, he does not have equal righteousness, then the justice of God will condemn me. How can I have equal righteousness with God? It's impossible until I go to the cross. Listen again to the verse. He that knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we may be made the righteousness of God through him. It is through Christ that I'm given that righteousness. If I go to Christ and accept him as my Savior, he, in effect, took my sin, and he, in effect, gave me his righteousness. And now I can come before God in Christ because I'm redeemed out of the slave market of sin, and his righteousness has been given to me so that now I become a member of the royal family of God, an heir to all that Christ is heir to, because I have equal righteousness. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. I didn't get it by giving up something or by doing something. I got it because at the cross, Christ made it available. And when I believed in him, I was given his righteousness. That's why the Bible says, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I did that way back in 1967. I am not a righteous person. I sin just like you do. But in my position, I'm in Christ. Look, draw two circles. One of them is your position and one of them is your experience. One of them's time, one of them's eternity. In my position, I'm in Christ. In my experience, I sin every day. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Sin can be something you think, something you say, something you do. But it doesn't have anything to do with my righteousness. In my position, I am in Christ Jesus. That's not going to be taken away. God's not going to say, okay, give me back my son's righteousness. You can't have it anymore. You sinned. God made provision for my sin. When Christ died, he died for all sins, past, present, and future. Sin blocks fellowship with God. Sin quenches and grieves the Holy Spirit. And I must recover from my sin in time. And I do that using problem-solving device, number one, the rebound technique. That's why the Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. How grateful I am for that verse, because I've had to use it just like you. God forgives. God cleanses. It's when we hide our sin and we act as though we didn't do it that we get ourselves in a real jam. Go to God. Admit your sin. 1 John 1:9, Psalm 32, 4 and 5. And he will be faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. And you see, that's how you stay in fellowship with God in time. You're already in fellowship with God in your position because you're in Christ. In time, you're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. You cannot be filled with the Spirit if you have unconfessed sin in your life. Because the Bible says you quench the Holy Spirit and you grieve the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So this writer of Hebrews nailed it. I would like to teach you something, but unfortunately you can't stay awake long enough to learn it. Or you're so distracted, texting and talking on the phone and working or doing whatever you're doing, you don't take time to grow. Growing takes time. It takes time to learn God's word. And I pity the pastor that doesn't teach it to you. Come on, if you go to a church and he gives you a 15-minute sermon on Sunday morning and a 15-minute sermon on Sunday night and a 30-minute sermon on Wednesday night, that's an hour a week. How are you going to grow learning God's word an hour a week? Listen, you have to grow daily. If you went to the first grade and you had an hour worth of instruction a week, you would never get out of the first grade. And the same thing is true in the spiritual life. It requires instruction. That's why the Bible says study to show yourself approved unto God. And you can read the Bible, you can research the Bible, but you need to do that in light of what your pastor teaches you. Don't take your Bible and think that you are going to figure it all out and you're going to learn it on your own and you don't need a pastor. If that's true, God wouldn't have given pastors. He did give them. He gave them the spiritual gift. And it's their job to study and teach and study and teach. Not hold your hand when you're lonely. Not counsel you when you make a mistake. Give you the doctrine so that you can learn it and apply it into your life. That's how you glorify God. When you make a sound decision based on the doctrine in your soul, that glorifies God. But when you have to call up somebody, when you have to go to the pastor and say, what should I do, preacher? Listen, that's not you glorifying God. That's you getting help. That's like a cheat sheet. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you do need help. I'm not denying that. There are times you need to ask that pastor what to do. But what he is supposed to do is to equip you to be autonomous. He is to equip you so that you can be spiritually autonomous. That means you can stand alone. You don't need people to encourage you. You don't need people to pat you on the back. You don't need people to uphold you. You can stand alone in the devil's world. Spiritual autonomy is amazing. because from there you go to spiritual maturity. And that's when you begin to glorify God to the maximum in your life. And there's only one way to do it. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the writer of Hebrews said you ought to be teaching others, but you're not. What does that mean? Well, you've been going to church for 25 years, and you still don't know enough to teach other people? What have you been learning? It's always amazing to see how churches are quick to put new young believers in a position of leadership and allow them to teach when they really don't know what they're talking about sometimes. So they'll give them a teacher's manual and say, here, study this, and the Sunday school lesson's in here, and teach this. And then the Sunday school winds up being a discussion. What do you think it means? What do you think it means? What do you think this is saying? Listen, that's not how you learn God's word. I remember speaking in a school one time, and a girl got a little offended. She said, I've never heard anybody speak like you speak with such authority. And she said, at first, it offended me. And then I realized that you were telling the truth. And I realized that I had so much to learn. I remember going to another school where a kid told me this. I've been going to church for years, and I've learned more this week than I learned in all those years. Because I taught them something. I didn't go to entertain them. I went to teach them, to give them accurate information. Well, where did I get it? From my pastor. Hours and hours of listening to my pastor teach me the Bible so that when I stand up to speak, I have something to say. I don't have to take squirt guns and squirt the kids. I don't have to pass out watermelon. I don't have to fill balloons. I stand up and teach the Bible. Is that what you want? You want someone to stand up and teach the Bible? Because that's what you're supposed to have. That's what church is about. Unfortunately, some cases, it's become more like a cruise ship. There's enough staff at some churches to where everybody's got to have a pastor, the old folks pastor, the young folks pastor, the minister's pastor. I mean, come on. Somebody's got to teach the Word of God, and someone's got to be the authority, and that might be you. So you've got to be able to teach instead of having to relearn everything. Let me ask you a simple question. How much of it do you really know? Let's just look at it this way. If I came to you and I said, and I'll use a fictitious name here, Ralph. I'm not picking on Ralph. I don't know any Ralph that's listening, but Ralph, tell me how to be a good Christian. Oh, Ralph might say, well, you need to go to church, and you need to tithe, and you need to study your Sunday school lesson. I mean, those may be things that good Christians do, but that's not how you become one. You see, Ralph ought to say, well, Rick, you know, in order to be a good Christian, you have to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me teach you what the Bible says about the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because this Christian life is a supernatural life, and you cannot live it in the energy of the flesh. And the Bible warns you that the flesh will war against the Spirit, and the Spirit will war against the flesh, and they're contrary one to another. So the first thing any young believer has to learn is how to be a Spirit-filled Christian. And that means he has to learn how to use rebound, problem-solving device number one. He has to learn how to stay in fellowship. He has to learn how to recover from sin. And he has to learn what sin is. Because some people think sin is just the biggies. You know, like sin is just like the getting drunk and the fornicating and the stealing. But sin can be much more than that. Sin can be something you think. It can. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is, the Bible says. Sin can be your motive, your intentions of your heart. Thinking is jealousy. Lust is thinking. Bitterness is thinking. Envy is thinking. And sin can be something you say. Gossip is something you say. Maligning is something you say. Slander is something you say. Criticism is something you say. It can be a lot more than just getting drunk and fornicating and gambling and stealing. Do you look at yourself and see any sin? Because it might be there. If it is, you need to do what I've been doing. You better confess it to God and admit it so that He's faithful and just to forgive you. You can't live the Christian life in the power of the flesh. No matter what your good intentions are, no matter how sweet a Christian you want to be, you can't live it in the power of the flesh. And that's why the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit is you using the rebound technique every day. Walking in the Spirit will cause you to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, because you will have a hunger to grow, a hunger to learn. Our Lord tells us this in Matthew 11. If you're hungry, come to me. He says, if you're heavy laden, come to me. If you're laboring, come to me. He said, I'll give you rest. And you know how you get it? He said, take my yoke and learn. Learn from me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Here's something interesting. The Lord Jesus Christ is not going to ask you to do something you cannot do. He's not going to put something on you that you cannot handle. He's not going to throw you under the bus either. He loves you. He has an amazing plan for you. You're still alive. You're still operating. And that plan is still in effect. So let's together, let's grow up. Let's learn God's word. Let's seek out a qualified pastor that'll help us to learn it. We can sit around the kitchen table and listen to a tape or watch a DVD and take notes and grow and apply it into our life and eventually replicate the life of Christ. We can become autonomous believers, mature believers, so that God is glorified to the maximum. I hope you're listening. I hope you're learning, because I sure love teaching it to you. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.